Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
My father left us a little before 2 o'clock last Sunday. I really wasn't certain how to convey it because I should communicate to the Star Tribune and WCC Radio at the same time, so I just went the modern approach and offered up a tweet, and I quickly reached out to Lindsay and Chris Carr. And then the rest of the day, I'd made sure family members knew before, but the rest of the day, overwhelmed by the people reaching out, the support, the kindness, the curiosity, people wondering what they can do. And, you know, when something like that happens, there's a lot to do. And I didn't get to my house until late that night. And then I looked at my phone, and there were all these texts, hundreds of texts. And I just thought, who would my father want me to respond to first? And it was Jeff Day. Jeff Day and Lacey and Larissa came into my father's life. Lacey and Larissa, and I hope you had a chance to listen to Lacey an hour ago, one of my father's caregivers. She was fabulous. You can just go to hitradio.com, hit the rewind. You can listen. We'll also podcast it, wccradio.com/Chad. They were amazing. At the Star Tribune, where my father wanted to write his column, he wanted to write his column for another 200 years. It was harder for him. And a person came into his life, and he was Jeff Day. And Jeff Day was essential to the fabric of my father's life. And Jeff wrote such a spectacular story about his life and my father coming together. If you haven't seen it, I really encourage you. I helped him keep up his column. He saved my life, and Jeff is with us. Jeff, you, my father loved you. And I know in the story, you talk about how when he met your mom and he said to your mom, "He's like a son to me," he meant that. And I just want to tell you how much your kindness and your respect meant to me and the rest of our family and how you treated my father.
Thank you, Chad. And I want to say how sorry I am for you and your family, and that I, from a distance here a little bit, I know you and I have talked a little bit this week and texted, but I just wanted to say how impressive it is the way that you've handled a very public and difficult situation. And I don't know, I think that you and your dad are obviously going to be tied together for your entire life, but just as somebody who got to know you first as Sid's son before I kind of maybe understood your public persona and the work that you do to create your own career, it's really impressive, and I think you're just a tremendous legacy, and also, of course, your own person with your own amazing family and all that. But anyway, thank you very much for those really kind words.
Thank you. I really, really appreciate that. I want to get to the part and just get right to it where you talked about saving your life and what was going on in your life and why it was so important what was going on in your life and the challenge you face, which millions face, and some of my father's comments about that.
Well, that's really interesting to talk about. You know, I am a very lucky person in that I have wonderful support in my life. I have a very supportive wife in my life. I have incredibly supportive parents and family. But I think, like a lot of people, when you're struggling with something or you have shame or difficulties in your life, it's super isolating. And, you know, sometimes you need something outside of yourself to force through those times. And so that was sort of a realization that I had. When I wrote that piece about your dad, that was not the path I thought it was going to go on. I had realizations about your dad after his passing that hadn't occurred to me during his life. And writing that was a very deeply emotional thing for me. And I think it was just that realization that your father provided me with consistency. He provided me with a life outside of myself. And I will never, ever be a person that says that every workday of my life was cheery or happy. There were days that I left the office thinking, I'm never going back to this place, or I don't know who I'm going to yell at on my way out. But I have a disposition, I think, that worked really well with your dad. And he relied on me, and I knew that. And what happened when he passed is I didn't realize how much I had been relying on him, you know. So that was kind of what led to that.
So I want to get to more of the last few years when my father had trusted you so much. And you have to know, you know, my father ate at my place so often. Mm-hmm. And more often than not, it was after he had written. But there were many times where it was before. And I am not exaggerating. It was whether it was a third of the time or half the time where you would come up and he would say, I don't know how I would do it without Jeff, but to me, this was the better part, he would say, and he's such a great person.
That's really sweet. Yeah, it's really sweet.
He meant that, you know, and he can be a handful, and there's nobody on the planet who knows that better than me, because as much as I love him, we had our moments, you know, where his full force would sometimes knock me down. And as people know, I'm not exactly a shrinking violet myself. But, you know, the last few years, that wasn't it, you know. And anybody was, you know, pushing too hard at my father the last few years, they need to look in the mirror a little bit. He's 98, 99. But when you wrote so beautifully about my father these last few years, when he had softened a little bit, when he would reach out to you, not just for help in writing, but the coat, and just that's what caused me just to cry, man. I'm going to try not to cry here, but just that part of that dynamic with the two of you, if you just could expand on that, I just know I would appreciate it.
Of course. And it's interesting when I met your dad, and it's one of the really unique things about him, he never seemed elderly. And he never seemed, and I shouldn't say elderly is the wrong phrase. I shouldn't say that. He never seemed like he was out of control of his life. He always was in full command of his life. And I just adored that about him. I thought it was so tremendous that despite whatever physical challenges he may have had to deal with, he wasn't going to relinquish his independence. And he wasn't going to relinquish his firm belief that he should have control of his life as much as possible. And when he broke his hip, he had been losing some ability, just his strength, you know, was going down a little bit. But when he broke his hip, he just became much more vulnerable because he was much more physically in need of help, even though, you know, as you saw, I'm sure in your life, when he had that walker, it was terrifying. The man flew a rat. I mean, he flew a rat. Yeah. It was really, people in our office would just be marveling at this man flying through this office, just dragging these tennis balls on the ground, you know?
Yep.
But I think we had built such a long relationship in the lead up to that, and Lacey and I talked this week about how your dad's life, I'm sure it will unfold for you in so many different ways, but for us it was like, I think, man, I knew Sid so long. I had such a rich time. I met Sid when he was 85 years old. I mean, yeah. I met him when he had already lived so much life. And so to be with him those final years, I think, was merely happenstance. And it just worked out really well to where, because he had faith in me, because he had trust in me, he could be a little vulnerable with me. I mean, he wasn't vulnerable with me the way he was with Lacey and Larissa. That vulnerability, I thought I knew how to handle Sid and how to work with him. And it's kind of like, I don't know, it's like when Eric Clapton watched Jimi Hendrix or something. Like, when I saw Lacey and Larissa, I was like, oh, that's that next level of care and control with someone who is aged, that just was so different. But he did trust me, and I think that we came to really care about each other on a much different level over the final probably 7 or 8 years of his life.
Well, I remember when he broke his hip, and you would reach out to me, and he came to see you, and you wrote about this, but I remember it distinctly. You know, when he broke his hip, he's 96, and these two doctors who are my great friends are telling me about his life expectancy and telling me how we don't know and how short it can be. And then he has surgery, then he's walking, of course, he's walking around the place. And then you came in, I mean, might have been 2 days after surgery. And I remember what he said to you, but if people didn't read the story, just talk about that interaction so quickly after the surgery about what he said when he saw you.
Chad, you have to understand, I was so scared for him. You know what I mean? I have had grandparent talks. I've never interacted with somebody who lived to that age. I've never known a 96-year-old. I've never known somebody to just carry their body that far physically. And so I was really worried for him after I heard how tough this injury could be. And so I didn't know what to expect. And he just says to me, as I'm trying to do bedside manner, gentle, you know, trying to be very caring. And he just said, and this is like, oh my God, he just says, you know, tell them. And I love that he said them. There was always a competition with Sid. So even his editors, the people who have been, you know, supporting him and caring for him and his professional career, you tell them not to touch my column. And I think that was truly one of his great driving forces. One of his great fears was this feeling of, somebody is going to take away this thing that I have built over my entire life. And to hear him say that, I just remember thinking, we're going to go back to work. it was a really wonderful moment, because it really epitomizes him. I think it epitomized how just dedicated and driven he was, even at 96 years old in a hospital bed.
Jeff, you convey so much of what made my father great, because he could be so competitive, he could be so fearful, he could be so insecure about what was going on, even the success, and he could have this hard, hard edge about him. And he wouldn't show it all the time, but when he did, and he did this to people close, and he did it to others to help, when he showed that, it was the true love, it was the true kindness. And he showed that to you because he meant it, and that came out also because you're just such a good person. I just thank you so much for everything you did for my dad.
Well, Chad, I wanted to tell you, I'm sure you have to do things. I'll make this very quick. Your dad's kindness and love was incredible. He, for somebody in such a prominent position who knew so many people, who had so many relationships, his ability to connect with you on a deeply personal level was out of this world. And I'll just say this quickly. My grandmother died unexpectedly a few years ago. And my grandfather, who loves Sid, I think my grandfather, who's 88, looks at Sid and says, if Sid's working, if Sid's active, you know, it's kind of like, I think it's a really enlivening and exciting thing for people of that age. And my grandfather met Sid. It was this very exciting day for us. We were at the Twins game. We went up to the press box, and Sid comes out, and he walks up to my grandfather, who he has never met, and he says, I'm so sorry for your loss. And I didn't tell Sid to say that. I didn't remind Sid of that. Sid had no idea my grandfather was going to be at this game until the day of. And I just remember thinking that is a very special trait in a human being. And like you said, Sid had his faults, as we all do. But if he was on your side, he was on your side. And I think he was on a lot of people's side.
Thank you, Jeff. We'll see each other soon, okay?
Thanks, Chad.
Jeff Day, please check out the story. Let's pause and just briefly wrap up the show in moments. Paul and Jordana are next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.